All right, this is Tony Alamo, and Father God, in the name of Jesus, bless and anoint me, Lord, to expound on these words that I've written yesterday and today. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen and amen. Okay, go ahead. And I've known these words for years and years, and I've known about, different things. I looked up manna, and manna is, what is this? That's I remember, and I just found that out this morning, and I wrote up something. Okay, so let's go.
In relation to the eating of the flesh of the lamb, here are some things which need to be taken care of. The Lord told the children of Israel that they must not eat the flesh when it is raw or boiled. The lamb must be roasted by fire. Exodus.
And some of you people that don't think that this is important, then why did the Lord say it that way in the book of Exodus? It can't be raw or boiled. It must be roasted. Okay, it can't be raw or boiled in water. It must be roasted. And there's a very important reason for it. Okay, and it may be boring to those of you that don't really care about eternal life, but it's not boring to me at all. Okay, then we'll keep going.
The lamb must be roasted by fire, Exodus 12:9. If the flesh were raw, it would not meet the standard of passing through the sufferings or fire of the Lord. And if the flesh were boiled, it would...
And so, those of you that don't care anything about the meaning of these three items, that's because I've never seen you go through any fire. It's like you don't think there's any point of going through fire at all. And that's why it's like you're bored with God. And His Word is God. So come on, just keep reading.
And if the flesh were boiled, it would only mean to suffer something simply under the human hand, as the sufferings they underwent under the Egyptians.
Right. In other words, you think the sufferings that are inflicted on you, or any afflictions that you receive from man, that's the kind of affliction that Jesus went through. He went through that and much more.
The false prophets tell that Christ's death was but martyrdom.
Yeah, but that isn't true. He wasn't just a martyr. A martyr, there's many martyrs in the world. False prophets and false Christians just attribute the sufferings of Christ to just being a martyr. That wasn't it at all. Then what else?
They preach that Christ only suffered the persecution from man rather than from God in our place. This is what it would be if the lamb's flesh were boiled.
Yeah, so it'd just be man persecution against you. But he was given. He was the lamb that God provided. And all the wrath that God was going to pour on us went upon him. There's a lot of difference between the pitsy-patsy persecution of man and if God's wrath comes down upon you. I've had God's wrath come upon me on several occasions. One was in the office when I started not... I wanted to tell the people about what he was telling me to tell them tomorrow or the next day. And when I began just saying, okay, God's telling me to tell you that Jesus Christ is coming back to earth again, okay? And then he started pulling the breath out of me again, and his wrath came down. He said, you promoted all these different stars and records and things like that, and now that you know I'm up here, that's all you're going to do? And so I started really, I says, oh my God, I'm sorry. And he showed me how little people are on the day of judgment, how people just love to... They're so embarrassed in front of mere people that they don't dare open their mouth about Jesus or the living God. And this is not the time or place for it, because this is a business meeting and I don't want to be your embarrassment, you jackass, you. Who are you, you filthy scum filled with pride? He said, men are all liars. And so it put a lot of fear, and some wrath came down. Another time I felt the wrath of the Lord. was when Susie says, let's stop witnessing out on the street. And I said, just let me win some more souls. And some people think that, you know, when they're not obeying, that they're doing something for God. You know, I was more interested in God, and this woman wants to go home. And here all the time I didn't know that she was eaten up with cancer. And the Lord said, go home. And when I went home, he tore my head off all night long. I felt the wrath of God. Another time when I felt the wrath of God was when I built. I was a new baby Christian. I didn't realize even what I was doing. That I was cheating some Christians. They gave me money, not a lot of money, to do a session, and I went and bought up some clothing and stuff with it, always knowing that I'm easy money, I'll get the money sometime else and go take them in. We went to the Holiday Inn in Beverly Hills to have something to eat, and it was very hot that day. There was a great big glass of water, and it was with ice, and it was just beautiful inside. This is the best Holiday Inn I've ever been. It's very plush, and they had waiters there, very polite, and were treating us nice, and great big tall menus, heavy menus. You know, you open it up, and there's all these succulent dishes in there, and he says, you'll not eat or drink any liquid until that session is over with. And Susie was still looking at the menu, and she couldn't hear what the Lord told me, and I just set the glass down. I was ready. I wished I would have been faster and got the glass of ice water to my lips first. So that would have been some consolation. But the Lord's wrath came down, and he says, if you do eat or drink, you'll die. And I had to go many days. I was so, there was like I was boiling, in a boiling inferno inside. And the devil tried to get me to drink. Told me that I was just imagining things, because Susie said, if you don't drink, you're going to die, you're crazy, you're stupid, it's the most dumb thing that you could ever do, is to just be fasting like this without food and water. Nobody can even go as long as you have. And so the devil came to me and says, listen to your wife. So I was barefooted, sleeping on the couch in the living room. Sue was back in the bedroom, way in the back of the house in Zuma Beach, overlooking the ocean. And I started going towards the kitchen where I was going to get some water, and there was a fire outside, and there was like mice that were running in for refuge into the house, and the place was filled with them. This was part of the wrath of God. And then I started going into the kitchen. I said, Father, if this is not you, if this is the devil, do something miraculous to make me not drink, because I don't want to go to hell. And I swear before God, may God send my soul to hell right this second if I'm lying to you, because I'm not a liar. The actual bulb, the light bulb above the sink, was lit, and it had a little like shell type hood over the top of it, and it remained on and leaped off of the wall, totally detached from the wires, lit, and landed on the floor in front of me. The hood crashed. It was like made out of glass, and the light bulb too. If I would have went any further, I would have scarred my feet up. And before that, I saw a mouse galloping across the top of the back of the sink there. I thought, that's an abomination, but that's still, the house is full of these mice, and so that could be accidental. And I just kept going slowly, praying. And that bulb, I says, and Susie came running out, what was that? I said, you know how you've been telling me to eat? I said, the devil came and was telling me the same thing. The Lord told me he'd kill me. I would die if I would drink any liquid or eat anything. And she said, you never told me that he's threatened to kill you. I said, I know, because I just didn't think I had to. And she says, you better not drink. I said, well, you don't have to tell me. Look at what he just did. So that's part of the wrath of God. And I was in Israel, and I hadn't smoked for years. And I opened up a pack of cigarettes there, and I thought, well, Susie's gone now, and if I go, I die. And I started to light up, and I took a couple of puffs. And the Lord came down as such fury on me and says, I love these people. And then I crushed this whole pack of cigarettes. I threw the cigarette down and I threw it in one of these wasty deposit things that you see. And I says, Father, if you're killing me, don't send my soul to hell. Please forgive me. I don't mind dying, but don't send my soul to hell. And if the Lord doesn't deal with you like that, I doubt your salvation. If you don't have any fear of God, you aren't anything. You aren't anything at all if you don't fear God. Because the whole duty of man is to fear God and keep his commandments, because you won't keep the commandments if you don't fear him. You won't bridle yourself. You won't bridle your eyes, your ears, your nose, your mouth. I fast between 12 and 17, 18, 19 hours a day. And some people just, you know, they are, and then I can't eat anything I want now. I have to eat, I'm on a special diet, or I die. Because you know why I do that? Because I know the wrath of God. And it was for what most people would think was little bitty things. If I can't get away with it, it's for sure you can't either. And judgment begins at the house of the Lord. And if the righteous scarcely make it into heaven, where do you think you stand? Where do the unjust stand? They don't stand at all. They're nothing but dirt, because there's no gold of faith in their hearts. There's dirt everywhere. Very little precious gold. And if it's not in you, you're not getting in. Then go ahead, keep going.
Being roasted with fire means...
That's fire, wrath of God. Okay? If you don't have the wrath of God, you've never been through the fire yet. The Lord told me to call people that were 50 years old in the Lord and to rebuke them and reprove them when I was just a baby Christian. I didn't. It was fire. The Lord told me to listen to my wife. Raise your hand up and tell the people in this park that I am a Jew and filled with the Holy Spirit, washed in the blood of Jesus, filled with the Holy Spirit. And the whole park came down on me, a bunch of Jews shaking their fists at me and saying, you're not a Jew. Say the word Moses in Hebrew. And my voice is so deep that when I did it, it couldn't be heard over the drone of the people in the park. And so I picked Susie up by the waist, and she's got a very piercing voice. So I put her in front of her, and she's a Jew too. And she told them to mach shvag mashigs. And they all shut up. She said mach shvag mashigs. That means shut up, you idiots, you nutcases. And they all shut up. Most Gentiles don't realize that that's the only way to talk to a Jew. If you don't call, you know, they don't think there's anything wrong with calling them a mashig. That's what the Jewish attorney called me when I started telling him that Jesus was coming back to earth again. He says, get him out of here. He's mashig. He's mashigana. And I said, me mashigana? Listen, in my heart, I was saying, you asked me to come in here, Bubba, and you has my promotion pasted up on the wall of Bobby Jameson. Said it's the best promotion you ever saw in your life. If I'm a mashig, yeah, I'm a mashig like a fox. But I've been put through all kinds of tests like that, to speak out and to do things when I didn't feel like doing them at all. I've been told in prison, just get up, the lights were out, I couldn't turn them on, to write a whole tract with a little pencil that was about a stub. The pencil was about an inch long, and I couldn't see, and I'm blind, and so I had to do it by feeling, just by feeling my way with the pencil. Why, you wouldn't even think to do anything like that, because you're not hooked up. You don't have any fear of the Lord. Or if there was, some of you people, some do. But if you're going through fire, I mean, that's fire. It's where the Lord puts you to the test, like to put out this kind of, the Pope's secrets, put out another Pearl Harbor. Go ahead and put that out when Bush is threatening anybody that talks bad about the president during the war. is going to be killed. But he told me to hold it back for a while, and then the war was over, and I put it out in Washington, D.C. I had it out before. And the last track that I put out, that's because, you know, I'm like I don't want to have persecution. I don't like to go to prison. I don't like to be slaughtered on the street any more than you do. But I go through the fire because I want to go to heaven. You think having a toothache is going through the fire. Or if somebody slugs you, some person pops you one in the nose or something, you think that's fire. Well, you're just going through it. Or you're going to jail for something that you did, or you get chastened for something that is your fault. It isn't fire. Some people eat too much and they're as fat as a hog. And then they're like, you know, got to be put on respirators and everything else. And they think they're going, they ate their way into that fire. That wasn't fire from the Lord, was it?
No.
No? Right. That's your fault, not God's. And you put yourself through that fire. That's the fire of man. That's boiled meat or raw meat. No, you have to go through the fire of the Lord. You know, when the Lord, they had sacrifices on the altar, and they put they had to be dead. They didn't ever use any live. They were live, but they cut their necks off. And when they cut the neck off, the head goes with it, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. And then they flayed it, opened it up, skinned it, and then put it on the altar. And the fire of the Lord come down and consumed it. That was God's fire. It wasn't the fire of man, was it?
No.
No, the Spirit of God, the fire of God would come down and consume it. And he says that we're supposed to be that kind of sacrifice where we're led to places that we don't want to, like Moses didn't want to go to Pharaoh and start telling him how the cow ate the cabbage. Right? Lord, I don't want to go. I stutter, you know, and I'm going to even stutter all the more when I'm standing in front of Pharaoh. I'm a little bit the Pharaoh, you know. I mean, I don't want to do that. That's fire. Amen?
Amen.
I mean, this guy's got enough power in this great big army. He could grab me and, you know, cut me into cat food. Or food for the frogs that they worshipped. That's fire. You haven't been through that kind of fire. Some of you have. Or when you're out distributing literature, you see people stone you or spit on you. Oh man, pitsy patsy, isn't that awful? Or they hit you with a chair or throw you in prison. That isn't the fire of the Lord. If you're in prison and the Lord tells you to go up to the captain or the warden and tell him, you know what, the Lord, thus saith the Lord. But you better make sure it's the Lord, okay? Because if you don't, something bad's going to happen to you. Right?
Right.
That's fire. There's three different kind of things here. There's raw meat. That's nothing. It hasn't gone through the fire. You can't be raw meat or boiled meat or boiled, you know, part of the roasted lamb of God who's been through the fire if you don't go through the same fire of the Lord. And if you put yourself through fire, don't be looking for sympathy from me, because you haven't gone through any fire. That you just, you know, sloppy, slothful people. God knows he can't trust them through the fire. I mean, if the Lord told me to go down, you know, and tell, go into Bush's office, I'd have to do it. That's fire. After all, put out tracks on him. Okay. You don't know what fire is. Not my will, Lord, but thine. If he told me to go to Africa, I don't want to go to Africa. I don't want to go to India. But if he told me to go, I mean, why would I not go? I mean, he'll make everything nice for me there. I know that he'll open up doors. Amen?
Amen.
I didn't want to go to prison when I first went there. I went into the mess hall. And everybody's in there. I was really down when they transferred me from Memphis to out in Colorado. And, I mean, everybody was laughing and joking and jiving in the mess hall, and I thought, how could these people be so happy in this place? And the Lord is telling me, he says, these people need to be saved. Can't trust anybody else in here with them, because if the gangs come up against them like they're going to come against you, they'll back down. They'll look like a Casper milk toast. They won't go through the fire. I can't trust them with fire. But you, I can. How could the Lord trust me? Because when Susie died, I didn't care if I lived or not. I was sort of on a kamikaze attack. I was sick and tired of the phoniness of the government and everything else. And so I figured if they kill me, good, I'll be with Sue. So I went after them. And there was no fear of dying, and there still isn't, because I've got peace with the Lord. Complete satisfaction. Because I'm willing to go through His fire. I'm willing for Him to come down and consume me. I'm willing for, that means for Him to live in me. On a daily basis, I'm willing to carry a cross, or however many crosses He gives me. And I have plenty of them in this church. More harassment in the church than there is from outside. Those people outside know not to mess with me. Because they know I've gone through the Lord's fire. And there's no worse fire than the Lord's fire. You haven't gone through fire like that. Okay, keep going.
Being roasted with fire means to suffer under God's burning judgment.
Right, isn't that what I said?
Yes. Fire indicates God's divine anger.
Yeah. God was angry at me. Because He's shown me much, and therefore much is required of me. And now you people have been shown much too. And much is required of you, and if you just can't be the same every day, you got to grow. Because the Lord is both meat and vegetable. He's the tree of life, which is vegetable, and He's the Lamb of God, which is meat, flesh. Amen?
Amen.
And so, the meat, or the flesh, is for redemption, and the vegetable part, the tree of life, is for eating. And for growing. The Lord covers all those aspects, okay? The manna is for eating. And the Lord is the manna, the bread of life, which I found out, and I forgot completely about it, but I found out that the manna means what is this? Okay, then go.
When the lamb is roasted means Christ had to be judged by God.
He had to be judged by God, just like all of us will have to be judged by the Lord. Everybody's going to be judged by the Lord. And so if you want to be judged as a righteous person, you have to go through God's fire. You have to do what He says, in other words. Not just read and pray. The Pope reads and prays. Baptists read and pray. Billy Graham reads and prays. The unsaved out there have a day of prayer. The president prays and reads, and they sing hymns. But they don't do, there's no work of God in them. They're doing the work of the devil. Isn't that true? And we need to pray for our president, right? And also for all the different sinners in the world, that they'll get saved. And God, that they'll start going through the fire of the Lord. Well, but we had so much pressure from all the constituents, and we just had to do what they said. Like homosexuals said that they'd kill us if you didn't make a bill to where we get to marry in churches and stuff like that. Well, I'm afraid the homosexuals would have to kill me before I'd do that, okay? Then what else?
Jesus' sufferings were not afflicted by man as mere persecution, but under the hand of God, as for taking our punishment, and for what our eternal judgment would have been if he hadn't taken our place.
Right, now he took some persecution from people, they stoned him and stuff like that, but that wasn't nothing in comparison to the fire from God. All the heat of everything that we'd done, every sin that we'd ever committed in our life was placed upon him. And he was judged in our place, and he was burned, roasted in our place. And if you're not thankful for that, for him stepping in as for you, then you're not worth, there's no way you could enter eternal life. You have to go to hell because you didn't appreciate what he did. And you didn't appreciate, you were too concerned about your mousy flesh to lose it, that you might gain eternal life. Your moth-eaten, decaying, ugly flesh. You just had to have this and had to have that, and you just couldn't let anybody say anything about you without defending yourself. How many things of people's accusations come in to me during a week? Quite a few, wouldn't you say?
Yes.
Well, do you think it bothers me?
No.
Do you see me throwing myself in my bed or on the couch and weeping?
No.
No, you know, they make my day, right?
Right.
You people are too sensitive. Too stinky sensitive. Okay, then what?
This is the roasting under God's divine fire. Christ could never be a raw or boiled lamb. The true Christ, that is, the Christ of the elect, is the lamb for us to eat that is roasted under God's consuming fire.
Right, he's the lamb of the elect. He's the elected one and selected one for us to eat because he went through the fire. He was roasted, and when we eat the roasted lamb, he gives us the strength to go through what he went through. If you're not ready for that, well, you're not ready for the ministry. And it's amazing to me how the people defend themselves with a pack of lies. That's even worse. That shows that they won't receive reproof or rebuke, and they consider it a punishment rather than a kindness. And they'll never make it into heaven. They're not even willing to take verbal abuse or verbal correction. It's just they gotta defend their ratish, mousy flesh. They're never able to allow the Holy Spirit to take control of their tongue. Gluttons for punishment they are, because one of these days when the wrath of God comes down upon them, they're gonna wish they believed what I said about it. I was just ever so happy that God never killed me, because he almost did. And he almost killed Moses. Amen?
Amen.
And Paul, he knew that he'd be a castaway if he jaked around with God, if he didn't preach the gospel when he was told to. People wanted to kill him, and he went. He didn't know whether the king wanted to kill him or not, but he witnessed to him very eloquently in the Holy Spirit. He didn't dare trust his own words. He knew that he had to be anointed by the Holy Spirit. He had to have the words of the Lord in his mouth. And he prayed for people to pray for him, that his mouth would be filled with the Holy Spirit words from God. Okay, then what else?
We are taking and eating the roasted Christ. We are only able to be one with the Lamb by eating this Lamb.
Yeah, you can't be one with the Lord, with the Lamb of God, the roasted Lamb of God, if you're not going through what he did. We don't have to die on the cross. Some of us might, but Peter was willing to be crucified on a cross upside down. He wasn't worthy to be crucified the same way the Lord was. Oh, the devil just wrestles with you on that one. You better not listen to him, the devil says. Don't listen to him. How do you say that in Spanish? Come here and say it into the tape here. How do you, what does the, because I want to know how the devil's talking to some of these Spanish people. Diablo, what? Don't listen to the, don't listen to Tony. How do you say that?
No le escuche a Tony.
Well, tell him, when he says that, tell him, don't, I'm saying, you tell him from me, don't you listen to him, okay? All right, what else?
People think that because Christ loves humans, we also must imitate him to love people. Because Christ, the false prophets say, was nice and humble while he was on earth, we are taught to be the same way. If we imitate Christ in this way, it is impossible.
It is impossible to do the work of the Lord that way. Being nice. You think I'm nice to people? Well, I'm nice according to the word of the Lord. Amen? Because there's only one way to serve the Lord, and what's that? There's only one way to please the Lord, and that's not being nice to a bunch of devils, is it?
No.
Well, then what is it, pray tell? Do I see a furrowed brow? Tell me. You know, none of you know how to serve the proper, the Lord the proper way, going through the fire? No, they say, after being saved all these years. Well, keep reading.
The best way to follow the
Lord. Okay, here it is. The best way to follow the Lord is what?
Is to
be nice to people?
No.
What? Is to, you don't know. The best way to follow the Lord is what?
Is to get him into us by eating him.
And don't say you never had been told that before. Haven't you been told that before?
Yes.
Okay, then why dummy up on me here, right? Okay, then what?
We must become one with the Lamb by eating the roasted lamb.
Right, then you'll know just what to do if he's in you. Amen? If you're deadened by the Spirit of God, the Spirit of the Lamb, or the Lamb's flesh in you, and his blood, if you're drinking his blood and eating his flesh, because after all, he's the Word of God, isn't he?
Yes.
And didn't the Word become flesh?
Yes.
Okay, and doesn't he say that you got to drink his blood?
Yes.
It's drinkable, isn't it?
Yes.
And isn't his flesh edible?
Yes.
Drinkable and edible, right? Okay, so you have to, that's the best way to follow the Lord, amen? Is to have him in you. Then you just, his spirit, the Lord in you, will mortify your own will. And then you'll be able to go through fire without punking out in front of people and putting him out to open shame. That nauseated me when I saw Jim Baker being picked up. And he was rolled into a fetal ball and was crying, you know, and it's right on the cover of Time magazine. Or Life or whatever it was. Oh, God, that was so nauseating. I just made a pact in my mind. If they pick me up, I'm just going to grin. And every time you saw me in newspaper articles from the press, was there, I had a big grin on my face. Hey, this isn't, you know, it's no big deal, right?
Right.
That was the most horrible testimony I've ever seen. Him punking out in front of the cameras. And his wife gets married to somebody else. She just couldn't hang on. Okay, then what else?
Then we will be made up by the Lamb. We will be constructed.
We'll be made of the Lamb. If he's, we eat him, we are what we eat, aren't we?
Yes.
So if you eat the roasted lamb, not a boiled lamb or a raw lamb, but the roasted one, the real roasted one, then you'll be one with him. Amen?
Amen.
It's good to get in a position into the a situation or to have so much of the or situation to where you have so much of the lamb in you, the roasted lamb, that you are like him. And you don't care about your puny life anyway, because what does it mean? And this is for the long haul, you know? When you like him, you are like roasted like him, and if he takes you out, by doing that, there's so much faith in you that you want to go home. I remember when the Lord revealed himself to me, that was, I said, Lord, I started to leap up. He says, not now. Take that easy, you know. I'm not taking you right now. And that was the biggest, I tell you before God, that was the biggest disappointment in my whole life, that I didn't get to go. If you could only see on the other side, I mean, you would think the little nothings that you go through that you call fire would be just like a pimple in comparison to the wonders and delicacies and splendor of the kingdom of heaven and ecstasy. It's like everything rolled into one. There's nothing down here. We're living on a mud ball, and everything that we see is made out of mud, including when you look in the mirror. Do you think you're made out of anything other than mud? Are you worried about the mud when you walk on it? Huh? When you spit on the ground, do you worry about that? It's like spitting in your own face, right? That's what you're made out of, isn't it?
Yes.
But don't worry about sweat the small stuff, all right? The worst that can happen to you is that you die and go to hell. The best that can happen is that you get out of this mud ball as fast as possible. I'd like to take a fast one leaving town. Amen?
Amen.
I'd like to be on the next load. Okay, what else?
We will be constructed or built up with the Lamb.
Because that's what you're made out of, if you're eating him. Amen?
Yeah.
Then what?
God didn't tell Israel to kill two lambs, one for redemption and one to learn to follow God's command.
Right. No, there's one lamb for everything, right? For the redemption and for to eat and to follow. There wasn't no two lambs. Okay, and there's no two lambs of God, just one. And Mary is not one of the Lamb of God, okay? She never got crucified for you. She never went through the fire for you. And what else?
God's command was to kill one lamb, put his blood on the house, and under the covering of this blood, eat this killed, roasted lamb.
Right. So while the Lord God came down to earth to destroy everyone that wasn't covered with the blood. And these people were the blood was on the house, on the doorpost and up above, and as he came down, the roof was covering them up while they were standing inside eating the lamb, and they had the blood outside, okay? Then what?
In this way, the lamb would be in them and would be their constituent.
Right. Now, they were weary all day long slaughtering the lamb, and they putting the blood up and doing all the things that they had to do, and the Lord says they have to leave quickly. Therefore, they had to eat this roasted lamb ready to go. That's why the Lamb of God is for moving when you're eating and fast. Don't be sitting down and relaxing while you're eating the lamb, you know, like you're eating a crepe Suzette's or something. Or you're sitting down eating, chicken wings. He says, gird yourself up. Put on your shoes, put your staff in your hand, and be ready to move. For the lamb is for moving. The eating of the lamb is for moving. In other words, the Lord wants to move in you. He said he wants you to get out of Egypt quick, fast. Okay, what else? Because this reprobate, who was the enemy of God and the enemy of God's children, changed his mind so much, it was just like some spoiled female is what he was. And get out of here quick, because this guy's going to come after you, after he thinks about it for a while. Right?
Right.
And he did, didn't he?
Yes.
Okay, what else?
You must be what you eat.
If you eat shrimp, you're going to be a shrimp. Right? That's what you're made out of. Eat protein powder. You eat the Lamb of God that's roasted, and that's what you're going to be. And what else?
This is very deep. The meaning of it is very deep. The life of a Christian is not a matter of imitating Christ or following him in a superficial way, in a false way, only going to church, singing, clapping one's hands, and performing religious ceremonies.
Or reading the Bible and like the Pope does. And you know, you have to do that for sure, because faith comes that way. But it's not just reading the Bible like you're reading a novel. You have to eat it, consume it, digest it, make it a part of you. What it means is you read the Bible to become a part of what the Lord wants you to do. Okay? Because just reading the Word isn't going to make you. You have to make up your mind that you're going to do what the Bible says. That's the fire. And what else?
The life of a Christian is not a matter of imitating Christ or following him in a superficial way, in a false way, by only going to church, singing, clapping one's hands, and performing religious ceremonies as a whited sepulcher.
Like whited sepulchers as the Pharisees did. What else?
As the Pharisees did outwardly. But it is a matter of our eating Christ, receiving Christ into us, and assimilating all that he is into us, into our being. Unleavened bread and bitter herbs. The children of Israel were commanded to eat the lamb with unleavened bread and bitter herbs, Exodus 12:8. The unleavened bread and bitter herbs tells that the Passover is a combination of animal and plant life. The tree of life was the plant life. The lamb is the animal life.
Now, isn't a lamb an animal?
Yes.
Isn't a tree like a plant?
Yes.
Okay, so the Lord is both animal and plant. Amen?
Amen.
So when the Lord, he set man before the tree of life, and he was to eat from there, but when he fell, he did what the enemy of God told him to do rather than God. Then he fell, and all of humanity fell with him. And so the tree of life was taken away from them. And in the 12th chapter of the book of Exodus, God came to him and set him before not the tree of life again, but before a lamb, before some meat. Amen?
Amen.
And some blood. Right?
Yes.
Then what?
The lamb for us must come first for our redemption. But now, after redemption has been taken care of and has been experienced, the lamb again becomes the tree of life to give us life if we eat from it.
Right, so we initially eat the Lamb of God, the Word of God. Yeah, we are covered with the blood, and then we eat the Lamb, who has also become the tree of life. This is the grape, the vine tree, the grapes. In the 15th chapter of the Gospel of John, it says that I am the husbandman. My Father is the husband, I am the vine, and you are the branches. If you abide in me, then you'll bring forth fruit. That is, if you're living the roasted life, the roasted lamb life. Because it's our reasonable duty to give ourselves as a living sacrifice, as he did. Amen? But once you sacrifice unto your Lord, you don't belong to yourself. He bought you with his blood, and you don't belong to yourself. Know you not that you're the house of God, okay, the mansion of God, the temple of God, and that you're not your own. And so you're not your own, and so if God's putting you through some fire, then that's him putting, you have no right to tell him what to do and what not to do with you. He bought you with his blood. And it's your reasonable duty to sacrifice yourself as a living sacrifice for him to let him live in you and work in you and take you through fires and over the hot coals so that you live his life out and accomplish his purpose. If you're not willing to do that, then you're not dead. You're living for your own self. You're not selfless like him. He contributed his body to us. Then what else? His life, his heart, his soul. He gave his soul that we could enter into his soul and he could enter into our soul. Okay, then what?
Live in it, that it in us is able...
Oh, reread that.
Okay. The lamb for us must come first for our redemption, but now after redemption has been taken care of and has been experienced, the lamb again becomes the tree of life to give us life, if we eat from it. Live in it, that it in us is able to bring...
Live in the Lord, so that what?
That it in us is able to bring forth life.
And let the Lord live in you, so that he in you is able to bring forth life from him living in you. In other words, you can bear fruit. That he will bear fruit. Because if you're connected, if you are part of the vine, well then, the things that he does will be accomplished in you. If not, if there's no accomplishment that the Lord did in you, then you're not, you're a branch, but you're not bearing fruit. And you're as cursed as the fig tree which he cursed. Hello? Okay, then what?
And dispense life into others.
Right, he said, you will bring forth life. Then what else? In others. Okay, what?
In the Gospel of John, chapter 6, our Lord tells us that he is the bread of life, verse 35. He also tells us that his blood we are able to drink and that we are able to eat his flesh, verse 55. In John 6:51, the Lord tells us that the bread he gives us is his flesh.
In the God, then he gets the word became, he's the word became flesh, right?
Yes.
Then what else?
In the 6th chapter of John, bread made from wheat is also the bread of blood and flesh. Christ is the Lamb who was slain for us, and in him was the blood and the flesh. Christ is our life, and because of this, he is the bread, our bread of life, the tree of life.
That bread has to be eaten every day fresh, because bread that's kept for one day, the worms come and eat it up. You can't live on day-old bread. When they collected the manna on the desert, anyone that tried to save the bread that the Lord told them not to, the worms would come and eat it up. And that's why people that eat day-old bread, there's fungus that gets into it. It's bread, worms that get into it. Why that happens, I don't know. It's the same reason why maggots in your body eat you up after you die. They're in there already. That's why when the Marine sergeants and the chief petty officers call you a maggot, they're not so far from wrong, right? Because you sure got it, sure enough got them in you. The worms don't crawl into your casket and eat you up. They're already in there in you. I know you don't like to think of yourself as that way. Sorry. Sorry. Then what else?
Between these two chapters, there is the bread of life, chapter 6, with blood and flesh. In one case, Christ is the redeeming life, the animal life, and on the other case, Christ is the generating life, the plant.
On one hand, he's the bread of life. On the other hand, he's the generating life, right? Can he read it again?
In one case, Christ is the redeeming life, the animal life.
In other words, the blood redeems you. And on the other hand, what?
Christ is the generating life, the plant life, which grows and bears life and souls, or fruit.
Yeah, souls, which are fruit, okay?
Yes.
The generating life. In other words, the plant life is to feed. That's for feeding and for growing. Amen?
Amen.
Because you have to keep eating from the tree of life daily, from the vine, from Jesus, the Word, the bread of life, daily, so that you don't get full of worms. The devil, in other words. Bad enough to have worms, but when you've got the devil in you, I mean, that's as bad as you can get. Amen? Worse than that is that you die with the devil in you, that you're doing his will rather than the Lord's. You're living in the devil's soul rather than in the Lord's soul, and the devil's living in your soul rather than the Lord's soul. Okay, then what? you're living for the world rather than for the Lord. You're living for your flesh to satisfy it rather than to satisfy the Lord. Okay, what else?
The plant life which grows and bears life and souls or fruit, those of us who are in him and he in us. Jesus is the Lamb, the animal life for redemption.
And the animal life for redemption. Okay, then what?
And the tree, the plant life for regenerating our life.
Yes, if we keep eating the plant life, which is from the tree of life, the word, we are renewed daily, right? That means regenerated daily, or generated daily, all right? Regenerated, or we are renewed daily, right?
You're right.
If you don't eat from the tree of life, and you don't eat the roasted lamb, if you don't drink his blood daily, then you're consumed with the world, because there's no other force that's going to come at. If you don't have the force of the Lord, the power of God in you, then the force of the world is going to come upon you and overtake you. You're not concerned about the word of the Lord filling you with power for defense against the powers of Satan, the powers of this world, the powers of your flesh, the lust of your flesh, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. You just have laid down for Satan, and you're letting him have his way with you. And the Lord, because of you're so sloppy, slothful and sloppy, the Lord has no use for you. Now you have to wake up, those of you that are still in the coffin of Egypt, or desire to go back to Egypt, or to stay in Egypt. You have to wake up from the dead and let Christ live in you. You don't like for him to use your body as his living place, his abiding place, with Jesus, with the Father, by the Spirit in you. So you don't fight the fight of faith. You don't read for defensive power in you. You don't eat the roasted lamb, because when you eat the roasted lamb, then you are in defense. You hate Satan. The Bible says you have to hate one master or love him, one of the other masters, God or Satan. And if you don't do what the Lord says, then you hate the Lord and you love Satan. Because Satan gives you a life of ease, but the Lord gives you a Spartan lifestyle. I went through Sparta in Greece. That's where they train all their warriors, in Sparta. And this church is God's Sparta. You can hear clearly and understand clearly the way that defense is wrought within you. Can you not?
Yes.
So you have no excuse. The Lord in the Old Testament and New Testament shows us the way. And he has people here on earth to teach, to expound, to explain the ways of the Lord and how to have power in him. And it certainly is not just staying the same every day or getting worse. You're either a part of the world, the Lord, and his purpose, or you're full of the world and its purpose. You're either in the Lord and with him, and he's in you, or the devil's in you, and you're in him, and you're of the world. So the Lord says, choose this day who's going to serve me. Don't think you're doing me any favors, the Lord says. It's for your own good. But if you care so little of your own soul that you want to not gird yourself up, get the staff in your hand, and to put your shoes on, gospel shoes, and eat my roasted flesh, then you're not worthy of me. Then what?
Thus, this solves the matters of difference between redemption and life.
Mm-hmm. A lot of people, all they preach about is just redemption, redemption, redemption. They never talk about life. Do you ever hear them? Just say these words and you'll be saved. Just say the sinner's prayer and you'll be saved. No, you'll be redeemed, your sins will be forgiven, but there's more. Now, we need to get the sins forgiven, but We have to go onward, right? We have to have life. We have to eat life every day in order to have it. Redemption without, if a baby is born and you don't feed it, it dies. So you're born again from the upper birth of the heavenly birth, birthing. Christ is birthed into you. And then you don't feed from the roasted lamb. And so you're dead. And so the Lord says, strengthen that which remains. If there's anything left, he says, grab onto it and start cooking, so to speak. You have to be a cook, le cocinero. Huh? You have to move, you have to be cooked. Amen? Baked.
Yeah.
Baked, not boiled or raw. Let's get busy. Then what?
The bread is of the vegetable life and is only for feeding and growth.
Yeah, that's what it's for. The tree of life in you is for you to feed and let the Lord grow up into you fully. Amen? That's what you eat him for, is to grow up into the fullness of the stature of a roasted lamb, of the roasted lamb. Not some raw piece of material. It's not building material for the building of God. Then what?
The flesh of Jesus is related to and is of the animal life, and it's not only for feeding and growth, but also for redemption.
Right, because the tree of life was never intended to wash you in its blood, because the tree doesn't have any blood, does it?
No.
Okay, so when man fell, the tree of life was taken away, and so the lamb had to appear to shed blood and to be eaten so that you could be, he could redeem you. It was for redemption, to redeem you back into the goodness of the Lord. But if you don't care about being in the good grace, the good power of God, well, then you're nothing to him. He's looking for gold in you. And again, that gold is called faith. No faith, you're not anything to him. We're saved by faith. And all there isn't anything that we can get from God other than by using our faith. If we have the faith and the grain of a mustard seed, we can say to whatever problem we have, whatever mountain there is in our life, we can tell it goodbye, because it's gone. Amen?
Amen.
And if we go through fire, the Lord is right in the fire with us, like he was the three Hebrew children. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
Before the fall of man, the Lord was the tree of life, Genesis 2:9, only for feeding eternal life unto man.
See, I forgot I put that in there. I just forget what I write sometimes. I think you know what I mean. Right? Okay, what else?
After man,
I bring so many messages today, I forget about, you know. Then what else? But I know it by heart, you know. Then what else?
After mankind fell by sin, redemption was necessary, so the Lord for us became the Lamb, John 1:29.
Right, he couldn't be the tree then. But once you're saved, then he gives you back the tree so he can eat from it and keep it saved. Make sense?
Yes.
Okay, then what? He's the vine tree. Then what?
So the Lord for us became the Lamb, not only for feeding and growth for redeemed man, but for the redemption of man.
Yeah, for to wash you in the blood and get you back to God, to get you redeemed. Like his blood is like a redeemable coupon that you can take to the bank with you, the bank of heaven that opens the door. The doors are locked if you don't have the blood of the Lamb, the redemption blood of the roasted lamb. And if you haven't eaten from him and grown, he just withered away. The worms ate you up. The devil entered in and seven more worse than the first. Then what?
It's Exodus 12:4, 7 through 8, and 12 through 13. We eat to move. Exodus 12 also tells us that they ate the lamb with their loins girded, with their shoes on their feet, and with their staff in their hand, verse 11. The children did not eat the lamb in a slothful, lazy, or slow manner. They ate the lamb in haste.
It says that in the Bible, you know, in Exodus. Eat it in haste, because I want you to move. If they didn't eat the lamb after that busy day, they were all weary, they wouldn't have had the energy to get out of town. Amen?
Amen.
If you're going to walk, you want to have some energy in you, right? So they ate the lamb, but they ate it in haste because they had to get out of town fast. Amen?
Amen.
Get out of Dodge. Egypt, that is. Okay, what else?
They stood while they ate, their loins were girded, their shoes were on their feet, and they had a staff in their hand. They had the blood as their covering, but what about the flesh? If they would not have had flesh for them to eat, they would not have had the power, the strength to get out of Egypt in haste. They would have been too hungry. So they must have the blood covering on them and the power or fuel of the lamb inside of them. Without eating of the lamb, there is no spiritual energy to leave Egypt walking in haste. So the eating of the lamb is for moving. Life, God's life in us is to move.
Now, what does God put life in you for if you're not going to move, huh? You grow roots into the seat that you're sitting on, the chair. Okay, what else?
They were eating the lamb in a moving way while they were eating. They were getting ready to get out of Egypt. When we eat our food, we usually sit down and relax. But during the Passover, the children of Israel ate in haste because eating for them was to move. This was the new beginning, not another creation, but the beginning.
Yeah, not another creation, but a new beginning. Okay? Because if it was a creation, it just wasn't. It was what?
The beginning of redemption and life.
Yeah, that's where God introduced redemption and life into the world. Amen?
Amen.
But he signified it with Abel. Amen? Where Abel was giving a sacrifice, he had to do that, and so did Adam and Eve, because they had sinned, and they knew that the Lamb of God was coming to the world as a lamb, a roasted lamb, to redeem them. So if they believed that it was coming, now they could be saved before, if they believed that before they died. And if we are looking back at it, they were looking ahead in time, and we're looking back in time as to that which has already been accomplished by the Lord. Okay, that's redemption is brought back to an association with the Lord, because once the sins are forgiven, we can communicate with him and he with us. And then we feed on him so that communication is no longer broken again, because if it does, then in comes the flood. Comes the devil. Because you turn your life over to Satan rather than redemption, salvation. Redemption, salvation, the same thing. And growth in the Lord. You refuse to eat him, to eat God, and you refuse to grow in him so that he can do a work in you. Accomplish it. First, you got to smother yourself in the Word of God in order to stand, because the pull of the world, the seducing spirits that are in the world in the last days, as the Lord said they would be, will get you, because only God conquered the devil, and you are trying to conquer him without the Lord. It's impossible. Jesus said you can do nothing like that without me. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, go ahead.
That's the end.
That's the end?
Yes.
I thought I had written more. All right. Well, Okay, praise the Lord, everybody, and may God bless you. And Father, pray that these words that have been expounded here today will always live strongly in each and everyone's soul, that they will take up the cross, follow you daily, and go and sin no more. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone says amen.
Amen.